Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, from you no secrets are hid. Defend the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pray.
O Lord, make us perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. For you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
The first lesson is taken from the first book of Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Excuse me. And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 42, found on the pamphlet. As the deer longs for the water brooks,
so longs my soul for you, O God.
My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God.
When shall I come to appear before the presence of God?
My tears have been food day and night. I pour out my soul when I think of these things. With the voice of praise and thanksgiving. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? Put your trust in God. My soul is heavy within me.
Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the king of Mazar, among the rest of the earth.
One deep calls to another in the noise of your cataracts. The Lord grants his loving kindness in the daytime. I will say to God of my strength, why have you forgotten me? While my bones are being broken, all day long they mock me. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? Put your trust in God.
The second reading is from Galatians chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subjects to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out of the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he wore no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Jesus had commanded the unclean for Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound and with chains and shackles, but he could break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back to go back into the abyss. But there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding. The demons begged Jesus to let him enter there, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man, and he entered the swine herd, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. The swineherds saw that what had happened. They ran off and told in the city and in the country. People came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man with whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. And all the people of the surrounding company of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they had seized with great fear. So he got in the boat and returned, and the man from whom the demons had been gone, begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, help us not to be afraid, but to trust in you in all things, in all matters, in all ways. Holy Lord God, it is your nature to love us and to care for us. Bless us, dear God, with your presence in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This past Monday at Bible study, we were talking about some great theological issues, about snakes, spiders, and what we were really afraid of. Hey, we talk about interesting things in Bible study too. But one of the questions was, are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? And somebody made a very wise comment, and Joni said, I don't want to mention her name. She said, "It's not that I'm afraid of snakes, I just don't like to keep their company." I hope I didn't upset you too much with that comment. But really, to fear something is to be paralyzed by it, to be ruled by it, to be controlled by it. When Elijah went from the presence of Jezebel and Ahab and fled into the mountains, he was genuinely afraid. He was fearing for his life. When Paul was thrown in jail, he knew that possibly he might die for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Jesus knew full well that what he was going to do eventually was going to be proclaiming the gospel, that he would die also. Jesus knew that. But Elijah was afraid. He was paralyzed by the very thought of being killed for proclaiming the word. And he went out and the angel ministered to him and calmed him down. He still had stress, but he wasn't afraid anymore. When Elijah went out and the angel ministered to him and he went on to his journey for 40 days and 40 nights, he went into the Mount Horeb, the Holy Mountain. He went in there and he recollected his thoughts. And God came to Elijah and he said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, I was very zealous for the Lord. But when God came to him, he said, go outside the mountain and listen for the words that I'll command you. And he heard there was an earthquake and there's fire and there's a great wind and it blew and it. This would have terrified anybody. But God didn't come to Elijah like that. Elijah was brought to trust in God by calmness, by the silence. He said to Elijah, Elijah, I still have work for you to do. I want you to go back. I want you to tell Ahab that you're coming back. And Elijah went, knowing full well that he probably would die for it. He was no longer afraid. Stress agreed, but he wasn't afraid. Stress is the number one killer in the United States with people with heart attacks, strokes, anxiety in general, mental problems. Stress causes a lot of problems in our lives. Jesus says, fear not. But we kind of discount the fact that we stress over things. We have to remember that when Christ came into the world, he came into the world to bring peace in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies. In the world, we've come such a long ways from when Elijah was on the earth. I mean, when Elijah was running around the earth, there was violence everywhere. There were wars everywhere. See how much better we've gotten in 3,000 years? Elijah lived in the same sort of circumstances we do today. And if that isn't enough, Jesus came into the world and said, do not fear. But he also wants us to calm our minds and calm our thoughts and calm our fears. Be not afraid, be not stressed. We stress over everything. I stress over whether or not, I was stressing today about whether or not I could come in here and talk. If you can't understand, well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to therapy. And it seems to be helping somewhat. But coming in here and preaching, knowing full well that I may not be able to speak, I was stressed, but I wasn't afraid. Fear not, stress not. When we feel stressed, we're going to feel stressed in our job, in our circumstances, in our world. Stress is going to be a natural part of our being. Whether or not we're going to deliver what we want to do, whether or not we're going to proclaim the gospel of Christ in our lives. But when Jesus says, fear not, what he's really saying is, don't be stressed either. Listen to that still, small voice in our heart that says, I am here. I'm always here. I am your strength. I am your sword. I am your word. I will support you. I'll be with you in all that you do. And all everywhere you go and all that you say and all that you do and all that you do as long as you trust in him. Fear not. Stress not. The Apostle Paul, when he was sitting in jail, I'm sure he knew full well that any moment he could be taken out and just killed. Take a sword and just, like they do in the Middle East today, they just chop off their head and that's the end of it. But Paul was stressed for sure when he went into jail. But when God was with him, he said he was going to do it anyways. I think it's interesting that the Gerasene demon-possessed man, Jesus said to the demons, leave him. And they left. And the man was filled with great peace. He no longer was stressed by the cares of life. He was no longer possessed by demons. The demons that haunt him and the demons that control his mind. The demon-possessed man was calm and seated in his right mind. We need to remember that this is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't yell at us necessarily. He isn't there with fire and brimstone and screaming and yelling and carrying on. Very often the Holy Spirit just says, "Peace, peace I bring to you." Proclaim the Word of God with confidence. Don't stress about it. You're my servant, and I love you. Not only fear not, but stress not. Amen. Please stand and confess our faith. Let us confess together our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 358. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Prayers of the People is Form 6, found in the Red Book of Common Prayer, on page 392. Form 6, page 392. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who claim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael Curry, our presiding bishop, Prince Singh, our bishop, and for all Larry, Lynn, and Gary, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and the Church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so behold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins. Through Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep you in eternal life.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Assure God's peace with one another.
Christ, now you said that.
I had to hurry back. Pastor Lynn's not here, so I had to hurry back because I was afraid somebody else would yell at me. Do we have announcements?
Yes.
If there are no other announcements, unless there's... Yes, George. Praise God. There are no other announcements, so let's worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings.
calling of Israel to be your people, and the word in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, the word made flesh.
Jesus, your Son, for in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, and out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. We offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray, your gracious God, you send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts that they may be the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with St. James and all your saints, we may enter into the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Jesus Christ taught us, we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, sacrifice for us.
Therefore, receive the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come to the table of the Lord.
Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna.
Closing prayers on page 365 of the Book of Common Prayer.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us into the members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us your spiritual food in the sacrament of the body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage. And now, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.